And live from our KGGF studios here on this Friday morning as we had to do some shuffling around. But yes, we are joined over the phones by the Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison. As Jerry, can you hear us through the phones?
I can hear you good, Sam. How are you?
Doing just fine. Thank you so much. Normally on Thursdays, we take our trip around the thin blue line. But again, shuffling around, Jerry, we do appreciate that you could squeeze some time in for us here on this Friday morning. I always like to hear everything that's coming out of your department, as well as you can look out the window and you can't not see it. Spring and summertime are here. And with that comes a couple of new things within your department, as well as just some safety and kind of tips and summertime safety measures that you guys usually have.
Yes, you know, we're going to be we're going to be turning these kids loose here pretty quick, Sam. So we're going to have oodles of kids running around, you know, hopefully out enjoying this beautiful weather. I know when I was a kid, I hit the ground running the minute that school let out for the summer.
Yep, me too.
So we'll have them out riding bikes and running down the street on skateboards and sidewalks on foot, squirting out from parked cars, chasing balls out into traffic. So we really need everybody's help in keeping Independence safe.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I was the same just as you. The second I got home, even it didn't even have to be summertime. It could have been during the school year. I got home, hopped on my scooter, hopped on a bike, you know, and I wasn't looking both ways. I wasn't going back and forth. And sometimes, you know, it does take the vigilance of the driver to really save lives out there. And an extra or a deficit of 10 mile an hour, 5 mile an hour in a heavy populated area really does make a difference.
Yeah, you know, it really does. You know, for every mile an hour you're going, you're traveling about a foot and a half a second. So if you're going, you know, 40 miles an hour, you're traveling close to 70 feet a second. Mm. So you look down from your phone, you know, you look down from the road at your phone or the radio dial. And, you know, that's something that's important to talk about, too, because we always talk about distracted driving. We always talk about that cell phone, but you know, that radio dial, that air conditioner knob, picking up that drink from the fast food joint you got at lunch, all those things just take your eye off the road for just long enough, you know. You know, 70 feet may not sound like very far, you know, and going 40 miles an hour, but really when you consider that, you know, it's going to take you a second and a half to detect a problem and react to that problem, then you know, you're chewing up that 70 feet, and you also have to consider the time it takes to skid to stop before you hit a problem, potentially. So it really is a big deal, and we see it all the time. When I look at our traffic stats, you know, trying to remember what they were real quick, but when we look at our traffic stats, about half, well, the bulk of our crashes are caused by people that fail to yield, but some of them are caused by our top numbers are fail to yield, following too close, backing, and then parked vehicles. So parked vehicles is our fourth leading cause of crashes in Independence. And really, when you're crashing into a stationary object, you can pretty well bank there's either impairment or there's distracted driving going on. And that really sends a message to me as a police chief that we need to be looking for those drivers that are distracted, and we need to be citing those drivers that are distracted and getting people to pay attention. Don't be distracted.
Absolutely. Well, I think you raise a great point, because, you know, you see the sometimes tragic commercials online of how, you know, just save that one text message, save that one text message. And for me, I played guilty to this just yesterday. I purchased a new car, and I'll tell you what, I am not used to having a new car. I'm used to having a 1999 Beater. You know, I got out of high school, but this thing's got a big old screen in the middle of it. It's like a TV screen sitting in front of me, and I don't want to play with it or anything, but I'm sure some people sit there and try and poke around on the big navigation thing on the radio, whichever, but it's huge. It's very distracting. And then you look inside a good friend of mine's father has got a Tesla, and that thing's got like an iPad and a half in there. So they are coming up with more increasingly ways to distract you while you're driving, when all it really takes is for you to be responsible and keep your hands on the wheel and keep your eyes on the road.
Yes, and that personal responsibility, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that really is the key here. You know, our system works because we ask people to voluntarily comply with it. And on occasion, people don't voluntarily comply with it, so we cite them into court, and hopefully, you know, the consequences of that encourage them to voluntarily comply in the future. But, you know, people always say, hey, Chief, what are you going to do to make our community safer? What are you going to do about this crime problem? What are you going to do about traffic safety? Well, I'm going to put it back on you because I'm not driving your car. You are. And I can't make you be safe. You've got to make that decision to be safe. We have a very limited number of police officers, and we have a tremendous number of vehicles on the roadway. I think, well, I don't know, some stats from years ago where there's more cars in America than there are Americans. So if that's the case in Independence, we've got over 9,000-10,000 cars in town, and you know, that's probably 3,000 or 4,000 for every officer on duty at any given time. So it's just not practical for us to be the ones that fix this. We're going to set the conditions to encourage everyone to drive safely, but we need our community's continued support, and we get a lot of support from our community. So I know that the community will step up, and they have stepped up. We got a 9% reduction in crashes from 2017 going into 2018.
Wow!
And when we compare that to our 5-year average, we're down 16.4%. Now we've changed the way that we what crashes we report. So there's a little bit of reduction that comes from that, but still, you know, we still are seeing significant reduction in our crash stats. So our community is supporting us. We constantly seek improvement. So we've always got to be getting better. We need our community. I saw an out of towner come through this morning, and she was looking down at her phone, going through a green light, and I looked up the block, and there's a city worker on a bucket truck. Working on this traffic light. Mm. So, you know, we just can't afford to allow folks to continue to drive like this. We've got to quit doing this distracted driving.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and for extreme, you know, this is just an extreme example by any means. But you know, they've got those things for individuals that are habitually getting into drunken driving, and they have to blow in order to start on their vehicle. For now, you have to turn off your phone to turn off your vehicle. That should be the next new thing that they make up. So
that may be coming. But you know, I think the big thing is have the courage to hand that phone to somebody else in the vehicle and have them operate it.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know if the way that I can sell that to you is to tell you that that's a courageous move, then I'll tell you it's a courageous move. But really, be that person that's committed to safety.
Well,
and hand that phone off.
Yeah, and I think it just shows an admirable amount of integrity as well, realizing, especially if there's others in the car, whether it's your child, somebody else's child, or someone else's life, you're putting them at risk, you know, by your selfish decision. So I do agree with that. So, here real quick, I know those crash stats are down. One of the biggest areas, I don't know if this is within your jurisdiction, but the intersection of 160, 169, I'm sure probably the sheriffs usually get most of those calls out there, but I'm hoping with this construction that those crash stats will go down as well.
Well, you know, I sure hope so, because we've had some really devastating crashes out there, and no, it's not in our jurisdiction, but it still affects us, because first of all, our citizens are out there driving on that roadway, and our local police officers are the one that set the traffic safety tone. And so if we can get you to slow down here in town, surely that'll translate whenever you're traveling outside of town. We're all running outside of town. We're all running out 160 and 169 on a regular basis. And so I'm thrilled to death to see it getting worked on. It's going to be a long time in the process as they build it. So we all need to be really, really conscientious of not being distracted and not speeding through that work zone and taking care of those mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters that are out there working in that work zone for KDOT or for the contractors. They deserve to go home every day just like you and I. So hopefully people will go along with that.
Yeah,
and that intersection does impact my department, though, because, you know, when you get to working with folks, you really get to care about them and you care about their lives and their families and how they're doing. And, you know, we've had some devastating crashes out there. And it, you know, you can see the toll that it takes on our dispatchers that take those calls. You can see the toll it takes on those ambulance crews that work for the city that go out there, you know. So, you know, it does impact our community. And, of course, those are our citizens that are out there getting injured and killed in our area. And so, of course, it devastatingly impacts our community, even though it isn't inside of our city.
Absolutely. Well, and I do, I've driven by it many, many times. Seems like they're making good headway, and I appreciate the way that KDOT approached it as well. I mean, there is cones for miles on miles and miles. You will not be unprepared, and if you are unprepared, like you said, running into a parked car, you were most likely distracted or inebriated in some sort of way. So I like the way that the Kansas Department of Transportation has made that intersection as safe as possible while they go through the construction.
Sure, and another thing I want to talk about, Sam, is our school year. You know,
yep.
We got kids going to school year round now. So just because school's winding down and we're moving into June here pretty quick, please remember that summer school's coming up. Please remember those school zones are still in effect. Police officers got a lot better things to do, but guess what? We still got to get out there and enforce traffic law. So you know, we've had several special projects this year. We probably spent. I think we had 5 special enforcement projects, and I think they probably stretched over 10 or 12-day period at different times. We did crosswalk enforcement. We did school bus stop enforcement, school zone enforcement. We're in those school zones almost every morning. So I need drivers to slow down and pay attention, particularly up on Taylor. If everybody knows where Taylor Street is here in town, it's kind of on the north edge. There's no sidewalks. There's no crosswalks. But there is a school zone there because we've got a school pretty close by. And we have a lot of kids that live out north of Taylor that are going to be crossing Taylor to get to school. I'm getting a lot of complaints from parents. So that is going to be one of our special projects as we move into the summer school time. We've got to get those folks traveling up and down Taylor Street to understand that, you know, those speed zones are there for a reason. And they wouldn't appreciate it if somebody jeopardized their loved one, so please don't jeopardize somebody else.
Absolutely, yeah, and I'm sure you get people complaining all the time, you know, why can't you handle the drug issue in my neighborhood? Why can't you do this? Well, why can't you not go 5 over in a school zone? Maybe all my officers wouldn't be so busy, you know, or something like that. Just kind of putting a lighter side of it. But yeah, I lived up at Pheasant Point for the first year that I lived out here, and you're right. I mean, it is first of all, the manholes there, you don't want to, obviously, I had a horrible car at the time, so I didn't want to damage the car, but very, very quickly you could be in a ditch, somebody's front yard, or the country club on that road right there if you're not careful.
Yeah, and you know, that's not the only place. We get a lot of speeding complaints down in the down around the high school area, particularly as the high school students are getting out of school. You know, they're rushing around. I've worked a crash over there myself. It was a pretty good one. We had one recently over there that was pretty good, so you know, we don't really like to see anybody getting hurt. We don't want you to sit there for an hour and a half while an officer comes and works your crash, and then gives you, you know, $200 or $300 ticket to go along with it. So, you know, students, take it easy. It's not worth it. If it takes you an extra couple of minutes to get where you're going, you know, and that aggressive driving doesn't really ever pay off. I notice that if I just drive even keel, I notice I oftentimes will catch up to those aggressive drivers. Even if I don't, they're only there 20, 30 seconds ahead of me. So everybody just take it easy.
Yeah, you're going to run into a stop sign or a stop light at some point. Do your brakes a favor and do everybody else's safety a favor as well with that. And also, not only just students, but I've noticed as well, because 10th Street was a major hub for me because I lived right off of Taylor right there. And that's how I would get to and from work every day. I mean, that's a major road, major hub. And I think people are accustomed to be going to that 30 or 35, whatever it is, from right there. And then that certain time of the day comes around. It's almost like this instant irritability. They get irritated that they have to go slower now, and I see people cutting people off, going left, going right. I've even seen somebody go straight through that stop sign, even though it's an automatic right. I mean, it's like for some reason the school zone lights turn on and people just become irritable.
Well, everybody's got somewhere to be. But, you know, the important thing to remember is we need you to voluntarily comply, because otherwise, you know, the alternate to that is we cite you into court.
Absolutely.
And you get a fine, and that's really not what we're about. We're about building that relationship with the community, but we do have a responsibility to enforce the laws. And research tells us enforcement is what works. So there are several grant-funded projects that we work throughout the year that officers get paid overtime money by the it's federal overtime money. And, you know, so we're working those projects throughout the year. Click it or ticket, don't drink and drive, those kinds of things. So, and then, of course, we make our own special projects as the year goes by. And so just like Taylor Street, we made it a special project a couple of months ago. It's time to get back up there and get to working it. So you know, we're just going to be all over the place working as many projects as we can to try to make it safer for all of us and improve all of our quality of life here.
Now, I believe
community to help.
I believe I saw a press release about it being statewide for Kansas departments, but from next Friday until June 1st, are you guys doing that click it or ticket kind of double enforcement?
Yes, click it or ticket is going on. I can't remember the exact dates, but I think it's already started. So we've got officers doing that, and we report those stats to the state, and the state funds that project. So there could be an extra officer out lurking around trying to catch you not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So,
and it's know. It's so easy. And I mean, it's a half a second of getting into your car and throwing something over your shoulder. You know, I mean, it is, and it saves thousands of lives. Like you had said, you know, the crazy stat of how many people, you know, that would have worn a seatbelt that would have survived in extreme cases.
Oh, yes. Well over, I think something around 60-some% of fatalities are not buckled in. I mean, we could, you know, what if all of those people have been buckled in? You know, I was at an event, and whenever I worked in Missouri, and they threw 400 shoes on shoe racks out there walked the crowd through there, and they said there's 400 pairs of shoes on these racks. That's 400 people that were killed in the state of Missouri that weren't buckled in last year. Those 400 people would still have their shoes on today. You know, it was kind of the point. It was kind of a visual thing. And yeah, I mean, we don't have that many fatalities here in Kansas, but until we get down to zero and keep it at zero fatalities, I'm going to keep pushing it, and we're going to keep writing tickets.
And that's what I'm sure civilians appreciate their police departments doing with that. Again, speaking with police chief out of the Independence Police Department, Jerry Harrison. Jerry, we've had some good talks here today, some crash stats up in your guys' area, as well as some pretty dangerous locations, distracted driving. That's going to be a big thing, especially with school out. But like you reminded, summer school is still in session. Any final notes or anything else that you wanted to get out to our listeners out of your department?
Yeah, sure. Come to Independence. Come support our community and to support our economy. We've got a big racing event coming up on Memorial Day weekend. I believe that's next weekend. We're going to have the shift sector folks in town, so come in, get you a ticket. If you want to race, pay the fee, and you can drag race at the airport. Pretty unique opportunity. Should be some crazy wild cars in that event, and then we'll have a downtown event as well that evening.
Heck yeah. Well, hey, Jerry, am I going to see you out there at the Airstrip Attack? Are you going to go check out those cars?
Yeah, I'm going to go check out those cars, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, I talked with one of the organizers yesterday of the Kansas Wear Shift Sector, rather, and so we're giving away a couple of entries here on the radio. We're giving away some tickets, and you know I'm going to be up there looking at some nice cars. So
super cool. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, very cool. And I think it's very interesting and very very special that they chose Independence. He explained, you know, it's a perfect spot in the four-state area that everybody can be included. And I think Independence is a perfect location for that.
Sure, but what a neat opportunity. How many times do you get to go as fast as you want on a runway?
Absolutely. I like the way you think there, Jerry. Again, Police Chief of the Independence Police Department, Jerry Harrison, joining us over the phone. Jerry, thanks so much. We'll check in with you next month.
All right, stay safe, everybody.
Thanks so much. Again, that's Jerry Harrison joining us over the phones with our trip around the Thin Blue Line, normally on a Thursday, but here we did have to do some rescheduling. So while Open Line will kick off right around 9:10 after the top of the hour news break. Again, that was the Independence Police Chief of the Independence Police Department, Jerry Harrison, joining us over the phones. And if you'd like to listen back to any of that great interview, of course, it's available on the main screen of our website underneath the Community tab if you scroll down to KGGF Morning Interviews at kggfradio.com. Again, now, quick peek at the weather, top of the hour news break, and then Open Line will get kicked off right around 9:05, 9:10, right in that region.